Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up this week on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner, also the drink of the week. That's all coming up. Stay tuned. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering fresh produce, quality meats, and everything else customers need to make the perfect appetizer, salad, or favorite family meal. Delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. I'm Mindy Anderson. Sometimes I cook real flops. And, I cooked up some more. We talked about that. I cooked up some more paella yesterday. That turned out great. I have a few leftovers. Leftovers are always good. But one of the leftovers I do have, actually I have some ingredients for my paella left over. Oh, I've got some onions and some tomatoes, crushed tomatoes. So I think that calls for a soup and a few other goodies. But what I do have is some shrimp. And so I thought, you know, it'd be really, really good to make some shrimp egg foo young. And I'm probably not the one that's really going to make the shrimp egg foo young, because the real lover of shrimp egg foo young in my family is my husband, Rodney, and he cooks it really, really well. But I know I've given you a good egg foo young recipe before, but I'll give it to you again. The great thing about egg foo young is it uses up eggs, and we always have a lot of eggs at our house because of the chickens. We have the leftover shrimp, so I think it's going to be great. Besides that, you just need some chicken stock and some soy sauce, a little sesame oil. You need some white pepper. We prefer white pepper, but if you don't have white pepper, black pepper is fine. Also, you need some green onions, finely sliced, and use both the green and the white part of the onions. If you have water chestnuts, slice those up. A cup of water chestnuts, you can get them in the stores. And then you can use some sort of protein, or you can just go vegetable too. That's fine. But generally you're going to use chicken or barbecued pork or shrimp. And that's what I have, so that's what I'm going to use. A little peanut oil for some frying, and this isn't deep frying. This is a shallow, quick fry. And then, if you want to add some mushrooms, basically you can kind of throw the kitchen sink into this, and you can turn egg foo young into anything you want. But then it does have that really great brown gravy that makes egg foo young so special. And then serve it over white rice or brown rice. And you can make a lot of egg foo young in advance, so you could make several egg foo young patties and put them into a baking sheet covered with foil and keep them in the oven on low and keep them warm while you're making the rest of them. This is really fun for, well, we did this once for a Christmas brunch and made some Peking duck alongside of it. And just kind of had a fun Christmas brunch that way. But it's super great for dinner. And if you don't want to, you know, fry the egg foo young, which is basically an omelet, you can just, you can use a little nonstick spray or just whatever you would make to make a regular omelet and not fry it in so much oil. And you could do that if you want. I like to have the crispy egg coating on the both sides, so I definitely like the fried. And if you have your oil hot enough, it's not going to soak in too terribly much and just be this big fried mess. It's usually pretty good. So go ahead and you can make the sauce first. Whisk some flour and butter together in a saucepan on low to medium heat, and you're going to make a roux out of that. And then, so heat that up until it's golden brown. It's browning a little bit, has that nutty smell to it. And then add the chicken stock and whisk that in. And really, you do want to use a whisk. When you're working with a roux and you're wanting to prevent clumps, a whisk is the thing to do. Sometimes I've been in a hurry and I can't get my favorite whisk. For some reason, I'm not grabbing it out of the drawer or whatever. And I end up just using a fork or a spoon or a wooden spatula. And it's never quite as creamy as if you really just get out the whisk and do it. And I made so much mac and cheese last weekend that I really became good at making that roux nice and smooth and creamy with a whisk. So use your whisk, add the chicken stock, and then you're going to season it with a little soy sauce and some sesame oil, white pepper. So however much of that you want to add, just to your taste. And then some people like to put in just a little splash of like a vinegar to that too, and it gives it a little tang. So that's completely up to you. And let that thicken. And so then you're going to make the patties. Because it doesn't take long for these patties to cook, it's best if you cook the meat ahead of time. So whatever protein you're going to throw into your egg foo young, cook it ahead of time. So you can saute the shrimp in a little bit of garlic. If you had tiny, tiny salad shrimp, maybe you don't need to cook it ahead of time. But anything bigger than a salad shrimp, give it a little saute in some sesame oil and maybe a little garlic. If you want to use some ginger, you can do that. But sesame oil is great on shrimp. And just give it a little saute and you're done. So you want to make sure that whatever meat you use or seafood you use, you're cutting it into bite-sized pieces. You're going to break the eggs into a large mixing bowl, and that was 6 eggs. And then you're going to slice the scallions nice and thin, add them in, add the water chestnuts, the bean sprouts, mushrooms if you want to use mushrooms. Sometimes it's nice to use, I have a lot of cabbage sitting around I need to use. You can thinly slice the cabbage and stir fry that as well in a little bit of sesame oil and put that into the egg foo young. Stir fried cabbage, it's so good. And you can put that into the egg foo young as well. So like I said, you can put in just about anything, and maybe you want to even add a little bit of kale. So you put all that in there and into the bowl, and then mix it up with a fork, combine it. Heat up a wok if you have a wok. If not, you can just use your frying pan. But the nice thing about the wok is that it's, you know, at the bottom it's smaller, but it really does heat up nicely. When you put your oil in there and you add your egg mixture, the egg mixture stays in its little round state right there in the bottom of the wok, and it isn't spreading out all over the place. That's what's nice. You want to put peanut oil in to fill the bottom of the wok. Enough peanut oil. So 3 to 4 tablespoons. And you're going to ladle almost a whole ladle of your egg foo young mixture into the center of the hot oil. And in my egg foo young mixture, a lot of times I'll add soy sauce to that too, a little bit of sesame oil and some black pepper. So keep that in mind. But ladle that into your wok, and then after about a minute, you can kind of spoon on or paddle some of the oil on top of the egg foo young to kind of cook the eggs that are on top a little bit. So when you flip it, you don't just have this runny mess going everywhere. So then you flip it to the other side after a couple of minutes, and you want to use a nice bigger paddle if you have it. Cook for another couple minutes and put those onto a warm plate. And this will make about 4 nice size patties. And you can serve that over white or brown rice. And you can layer the sauce over the top of each patty. And you can put it onto a nice big platter, and people can get what they want from it. Or you can make little individual ones and kind of pre-plate and make it look really nice. And maybe some little scallions on top. And delicious. Super great. So don't forget about egg foo young. It's pretty inexpensive. A lot of people have shrimp or something in their freezer that they can use for this. And some eggs, if you're wondering what to do with all of those eggs. There you have it. Change it up a little bit and make some egg foo young. That's what we're going to have. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Betty's, cobblers, buckles, and more. It can be really confusing. And even though I spent a little time getting recipes for some Betty's, cobblers, buckles, and all of that, I'm still confused. But nonetheless, peaches, berries, apples, all sorts of fruit, and mixed with sugars and toppings and oats, it's all delicious. That's coming up next on What's for Dinner.
It's not far, I can walk down the block to table talk. Close my eyes, make the pies all day. Plastic cap on my hair, I used to mind, now I don't care.
Support for What's for Dinner comes from Inga's Galley, open for business 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., serving locally grown food and fresh-caught seafood, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, salads, and sides, and the Manwich quarter-pound burger on a Kaiser roll with bacon, egg, and cheese. Inga's Galley with heated outdoor seating downtown. Beer and wine available. 772-2090. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Today, the difference between crumbles, crisps, Betty's, and buckles. Well, I'm kind of still not sure, but we're going to do our best. The good thing is that they all contain lots of great fruit, and they just make you feel good when you eat them. And speaking of making pies, they're so much easier than making pies. Generally, you're putting them into a 9x13 or some sort of casserole dish. Usually, you're not rolling out a dough and having to make it fit properly and look good on the outside. So that's the good thing about the Betty's, cobblers, buckles, and more. They're pretty easy to make, and they don't take usually under 10 ingredients in these lovely desserts. And I actually have one savory cobbler recipe to give you today. But let's just start off with one of our favorites, and that would be peach cobbler. This one in particular is from Posey Hardwood, and this is a summer ale peach cobbler. Well, before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the differences. Let's back up. Well, they're all made with fresh fruit, and they have some kind of crust. The cobbler crust usually has some form of drop biscuits that sort of swell up when they bake. And the biscuit can be very biscuity, or it could be more crumbly, but it definitely has a rough look on top. And when you scoop into the cobbler, you're getting a nice bit of that biscuit dough and then the fruit on the bottom. So sounds pretty easy, right? A lot of times, yeah, you're taking the dough right out of the bowl and kind of pinching it right onto your fruit. So, and then crumbles and crisps, they can actually be easier, but they're super related. And so I'd like to hear your idea, but most of them have the fruit foundation, which is somewhat stewed or mixed with sugar. But the biggest thing is some have oats and others don't. So do they have oats in the streusel or not? So with crisps, you generally have oats. And for crumbles, you usually don't. So, but there have been some blueberry crumble recipes that call for oats, and some crumble recipes that don't. Also, I've seen crisp recipes that have whole grains that call for some oats. So, or don't have any. So, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But crisp and crumbles, they're about the same. Sometimes they have oats and sometimes they don't. And then Buckles and Betty's. Buckles are kind of cake-like. And the fruit is added to the batter, and there's usually a streusel topping sprinkled on top. And you can put oats on that. So there's no, whether or no or not you're going to use oats, it's up to you. But I'm thinking about a buckle recipe that Julie Dahl has that she made. And actually, she made it for this radio station, KFSK, once in muffin form. They were so good. Blueberry buckle with a streusel topping. Really one of the best blueberry buckle recipes I've ever had. And with the streusel topping on top, it was so good. And then having it in a muffin form, just so you had your one muffin and that was it. And then you could break that open and put some ice cream on top of it. Really good. Little extra blueberry sauce. Betty's generally have breadcrumbs and sugar mixed to support the fruit. So there you have it. That's a Betty uses some bread, and maybe some Betty recipes don't. That's why it's so confusing, everyone. But today we are talking about Betty's cobblers, buckles, and more, and this is just to get you into the mood of making some easy fruit desserts to take to the potlucks and stuff. Back to the summer ale peach cobbler. This one does use a little ale in it, and you could omit the ale and use something else. But I'm going to give this. This is from Posey Hardwood. And first you need to make your biscuit topping. This is for a 9-inch pan. You need 1.5 to 2 cups of flour, 1/3 cup of sugar, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 1/2 cup of summer ale or other beer. 1/3 cup of dry powdered milk, and, which reminds me, I have to put that on my grocery list tonight, powdered milk. And 6 tablespoons of cold butter. So that's for your biscuit topping. And then for the filling, a half a cup of sugar, a quarter cup of cornstarch, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, and the zest of 1 lemon. Also, 5 medium peaches, peeled and sliced, 1 pint of blueberries, and a half a cup of summer ale or other beer. That's for the filling. And maybe you've been out blueberry picking already. I was out fishing on Friday and didn't bring home any fish, but did bring home a couple handfuls of blueberries just because they were right there next to me while I was fishing. And I've yet to get those into some muffins or pancakes in the next couple days. So head on out and pick some blueberries. Preheat your oven to 350, and then in a large bowl, whisk together the flour, the sugar, the baking powder, and the salt. You're going to cut in the butter until the mixture is crumbly. You can cut in the butter with your fingers, your hands there, or you could use a couple of knives. You could use a butter cutter where it's got a handle and it has 3 blades, maybe sometimes 4, but generally no, or 2. I can't remember, but I think maybe it is just 2. I hardly ever use mine anymore, but you can cut the butter with that, or you can throw this all into a food processor and just give it a couple pulses until it's crumbly. Then whisk together the egg yolk, vanilla, the beer, and the dry powdered milk in a small bowl. You're going to add that to the butter flour mixture and stir until the dough just comes together. Chill while you prepare the filling. You could do that with the food processor too. Just whip, zip, and it's done, and then put it into the fridge. You could use some ginger ale with this, and it would be super great if you don't want to use beer. In a 9-inch round pie plate or an 8-inch square baking dish, spread the sliced peaches and the blueberries. Combine the sugar, the cornstarch, the cinnamon, and the lemon zest in a small bowl and sprinkle that over the fruit. Drizzle the beer or the ginger ale over the surface of the fruit. Then remove the biscuit dough from the refrigerator, pat it on a lightly floured surface about 1/2 inch thick so it's going to be sticky. You can add more flour if it's too sticky to work with. And then this one, you are going to use a biscuit cutter, slice out rounds of dough and top the entire surface of the pan with the slices, with the rounds, sorry. And then bake until the biscuits are golden and the fruit is bubbling about 20 minutes. Remove from the oven and let cool slightly and serve. Yum. I just love warm peaches. I really, really do. And this would be so good with cream or ice cream. And it's easy to make. The hardest thing is the dough and making the circles. But you can, you know, you can turn it into a crisp or a crumble if you don't want to put the dough on top. But the dough is so good, that biscuit. Really good. This recipe is from a woman by the name of Kate Williams. It's called Cuppa Cuppa Sticka. And because there's a cup of self-rising flour and a cup of milk and a cup of sugar and a stick of butter. Cuppa Cuppa Sticka, so it helps you remember. Also, fruit and a little bit of vanilla. This one kind of breaks the rules because this kind of mixes it all together into like a cake. And even though it's a cobbler, see, that's why I told you it's so confusing. This one serves 6 to 8 people. But the most important thing is that it's using peaches, and that's what we want, peaches and blueberries. 8 tablespoons of butter, 1 cup of self-rising flour, 1 cup of granulated sugar, 1 pinch of salt, 1 cup of whole milk, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla. 4 medium-sized peaches chopped into bite-sized pieces, about 2 cups. You could use nectarines too. and then a quarter cup of blueberries. And a quarter cup is not that much. You might want to do more than that. I'm like looking at my hand and I'm thinking a quarter cup does not sound like much for 6 to 8 people. If you are a blueberry lover, you might want to put more in. Preheat your oven to 350. Place the butter in a 9x13 dish and put it in the oven to melt. So that whole cup of butter, put it in the oven to melt. Whisk the flour, the sugar, and the salt in a large bowl, and then add the milk and vanilla and whisk gently until smooth. And it says whisk because use your whisk so that it is smooth. You don't want a whole bunch of lumps in there. Once the butter is melted and starting to bubble, remove the baking dish from the oven and rotate the dish to coat the tops, coat the bottom and the sides with the butter. There's going to be a lot of it. But she says in here, that's why this dish is so good. Pour the batter into the hot baking dish. Use a spatula to spread it out along the pan, and the butter will slop over the sides of the batter. And she says, this is a good thing. Scatter the peaches and blueberries over the batter. Bake the cobbler until the center is just set and the edges are deep golden brown, 35 to 40 minutes. Eat hot, warm, room temperature, or cold from the fridge for breakfast the next morning. Vanilla ice cream is a wonderful topping, but not strictly necessary. This is Cuppa Cuppa Sticka Peach and Blueberry Cobbler. And it sounds so good, and it's so easy. It really, really is so easy. If you want that doughy taste on your cobbler without having to mix the dough, put it in the fridge, you know, shape it into rounds, put it on top. It's a whole different taste, but flavor, but very, very good. I have one more cobbler recipe. And this one is a spiced plum cobbler. This one is, the reason I wanted to give you a cobbler recipe like this is because this is made in four 1-cup ramekins. And those are those little glass dishes. A lot of times you can get 4 Pyrex dishes in one plastic wrapping, so you buy 4 at once. And they're not very expensive. So this one calls for plums, which are so good in cobblers too. 6 large ripe plums sliced into 1/2-inch slices. And then 1/4 to 1/2 a cup of brown or raw sugar. Depends on how sweet you like it. And how sweet are the plums. Then 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/8 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1/8 teaspoon of allspice, a little pinch of salt, and then you have a crust. You need 1 cup of flour, 1/4 cup of cornmeal, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, and a little bit more to sprinkle on top of each cobbler. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 3 tablespoons of cold unsalted butter in about tablespoon size pieces, 1/4 cup of sour cream, and 1/4 cup of cold milk. So your crust is flour, cornmeal, brown sugar, salt, butter, sour cream, and cold milk. And so you combine the plums with the sugar and the spices and stir it and set it aside. Preheat your oven to 375. Place your dry ingredients for your crust in a mixing bowl. Add the butter and work it into the dry ingredients with your hands, your pastry cutter, or you can put it into your food processor. Add the sour cream and milk and stir just to combine. Spoon the plums into the ramekins and spread enough of the dough on the top to cover the fruit. Sprinkle with a little brown sugar and put the ramekins on a sheet pan. Bake for 30 minutes or until the crust is golden brown and the fruit is bubbly. And this is one of those dishes, of course, it's like a little pie. You could put this into a little half pint jar to take it on a picnic. So when it's all done, you've got your, you know, cobbler dough on top, and you can screw on the lid if you didn't go all the way over the top. Or just if you're taking a bunch of them somewhere as a potluck or a kid's party or something, you don't really need to put the lids on. Just carry them on a sheet pan and be careful with them. You can make a little design on the top of the cobbler if you want to, top of the dough. But that is a spiced plum cobbler. Just cinnamon and nutmeg and allspice with plums. It's very, very comforting. Okay, so those are the cobbler recipes. Let's move on to the buckle. And remember, the buckle is sort of cake-like, but it's got that crumble on the top. This has a hazelnut streusel. So this is a hazelnut streusel. And this is we're using a berry buckle batter. Remember, you can like change it up with the berries. When it comes to a buckle that has berries, you can change it up here and there. Use your discretion. So let's talk about the berry buckle batter first. 1 3/4 cup of all-purpose flour and 2 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 4 tablespoons of butter, 1 cup of sugar, and raw sugar would do just fine, 1 large cold egg, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 2/3 cup of buttermilk. And so it's going to be very, very good. It's going to taste rich and tangy with the buttermilk and buttery with the butter. Delicious. So that's the buckle batter. And then for the hazelnut streusel, 3/4 cups of roasted hazelnuts. And if you have hazelnuts and they're not roasted, you can easily roast them even in the oven, or you can roast them in a dry pan on your stovetop. And then 1/2 cup of packed brown sugar, 1/4 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground nutmeg, 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, and 1/2 cup of cold unsalted butter cut into 1/2-inch slices. And as I'm looking at a couple of these recipes with cinnamon and nutmeg, and last time I was down south, of course, you can do that anywhere that sells spices. I bought some new cinnamon and some more nutmeg, cardamom, you know, a few spices. It doesn't take long for your spices to sit in your cabinet that they start to get old. And just like any food, your spices do too, and they really start losing a lot of kick and a lot of the flavor. And you realize that when you buy new and you open up the jar or you open up the bag and that fresh smell comes out of it. If you're heading down south, try to stop at one of those spice places like World Spice, which is one of my favorite on Western Avenue in Seattle, or Penzies, or someplace where you really can take a look at all the spices and smell them and look at them and, you know, treat yourself to maybe a new bag of cinnamon or a new... A lot of times they sell it by the ounce, so you could just get it in a jar. And just every so often, replace some of your spices with some new, and you'd be surprised. They don't cost as much as you think they would. But I did. I replaced the cinnamon, and just for some of these recipes that use cinnamon and nutmeg and baking. So we have the hazelnut streusel. We have the berry buckle batter. Let's put it all together. So you want to start off by, oh, you also want to have your blueberries. You need, or berries. You want a couple pints of berries. So whatever kind you like. Blueberries, blackberries, huckleberries, marionberries, raspberries. Any of those will work. Preheat the oven to 350, and in your oven, put the rack in the lower middle position. You're going to butter and flour a 2-inch deep, 9-inch square, or a 10-inch round, or 11-by-7-inch rectangular pan, and set it aside. So it's either a 2-inch deep, 9-inch square, or 10-inch round, or 11-by-7. Combine your flour, baking powder, and salt in a bowl. Whisk until well mixed for about 15 seconds. Then place your butter in a glass bowl. You can also use like a glass measuring cup. Microwave it until it's about half melted. Then add sugar, egg, and vanilla to the bowl. Whisk it until combined and gradually beat in the buttermilk. If you can think about it ahead of time, you don't want to put the buttermilk in cold because you just melted the butter. And now you're going to put in cold buttermilk. And then that butter is going to firm up and you're going to get little, it's going to look curdled. But it'll still make a great buckle. The butter will melt when it's being baked. But if you can remember to take the buttermilk out, and anytime you're making this kind of a dough or a batter and you have the cold, you know, the butter you just melted, and then you put in a cold milk, it will curdle. But so it's best to have it room temp. It really mixes up nicely that way. Add the wet ingredients to the dry ingredients and stir until it's nice and smooth. Then fold in the berries. And it's fine if the berries streak and look like it's making a mess. It's going to taste delicious. Transfer the batter to your prepared pan. Spread it around evenly. Sprinkle the streusel topping on an even layer and bake for 40 to 55 minutes, depending on your oven and the pan. So keep an eye on it. You want the top to be golden brown, and you put the toothpick in. Nothing will cling to it when it comes out. There might be a little bit of juice on the toothpick or a little bit of streusel, but that's okay. Let it cool on a wire rack for about 20 minutes before serving. Serve warm or at room temperature. No one will complain if you put some whipped cream or ice cream on top, but you can eat it plain. And then remember what I said about Julie Dahl. You could put those in muffin tins, too, and make muffins out of them. So that was a buckle. We've talked about a cobbler. I have so many recipes here, but never enough time. Here's a crumble. This one is a southern peach crumble. We've already talked about peaches, but you could use nectarines or other stone fruit. This has got some southern flavors in it, like bourbon, but you can take the bourbon out. It's just 1 tablespoon, and you can put something else in there instead. 1 stick of cold butter cut into pea-sized chunks, 1 cup of flour, 1 cup of brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 cup of chopped pecans, 6 to 8 sliced ripe peaches, 1 teaspoon of almond extract, 1 tablespoon of bourbon, 1 lemon juiced, 1 tablespoon of maple syrup, and 1 quart of vanilla ice cream to go with it all. Super easy recipe. If you have all this, you can make this tonight. Preheat your oven to 350. You're going to mix the flour, the cinnamon, the sugar, the butter, and the pecans until crumbly. Mix all the other ingredients together. Pour it into the baking dish. Top with the topping. And bake for 25 to 30 minutes. And serve with the ice cream. So your crumble is the stick of cold butter, the flour, the brown sugar, the cinnamon, and the pecans. Mix all that up. You also have your ripe peaches, the almond extract, the bourbon, the lemon juice, the maple syrup. Mix that together, throw it in your pan, put the crumble on top, and bake it 25 to 30 minutes. It'll take less than 10 minutes to make that dish. So just in case you have a last minute something you need to go to, there you go. I just want to also mention the apple Betty. Of course, you can make a peach Betty or a nectarine Betty. This is one with breadcrumbs, but you would use 4 cups of sliced apples, nectarines, or peaches. If you want to add blueberries in with that, you can, or blackberries. I love blackberries and nectarines together. 1/4 cup of orange juice, 1 cup of sugar, 3/4 cup of breadcrumbs, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and 1/2 cup of butter. Mound the apples in a buttered 9-inch pie pan or your nectarines or peaches. Sprinkle with the orange juice. If you're using a few berries, sprinkle those in there too. Put the rest of the remaining ingredients in a bowl. Sprinkle over the fruit and bake at 375 for 45 minutes. You're going to have that nice crunchiness. And then that sweet and tart from the fruit. Delicious. And then I found this one. This recipe isn't a Betty Cobbler buckle or crumble, but this is it's a cherry bread and butter pudding. And I thought I'd share this with you because of the great cherries right now, and they're not going to last forever. You know, they're kind of a booger to pit and cut in half, but I think well worth the time. And a lot of you have those really cool pitters out there, and some of them even pit, I don't know, 4 or 5 cherries at once. Maybe a friend has one that you can borrow. And this does call for a loaf of brioche, which I don't know when it was the last time I saw brioche here in town. That doesn't mean you won't see brioche eventually, but maybe you make your own. It has a lot of eggs in it. If you can't find brioche, then I would just use a kind of a Hawaiian loaf, or you could use even Texas toast or whatever good bread you want to use. Doesn't mean you have to go out and buy it either. You can just use a honey loaf if you make honey bread. But if you can find brioche, that's what you want to use. 5 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1 1/2 cups of full-fat milk, and 1 1/2 cups of heavy cream, a vanilla pod, 3 cups of pitted and halved cherries, 1 pinch of grated cinnamon, 1 pinch of grated nutmeg, 1/2 lemon, zest of 1 lemon, 4 eggs, and 1/2 cup plus 1 tablespoon of granulated sugar. And you're going to butter 6 individual ramekins or some sort of a bowl that's large enough to hold 2 cups. You could use like enameled mugs would work great for this, like the kind you camp with. That's what it says here. This recipe, by the way, is from Food 52, Oozy Cherries Bread and Butter Pudding by Hungry Larder. Squeeze 1/2 lemon over the cherries and add 1 tablespoon of sugar, 1 pinch of cinnamon, and 1 pinch of nutmeg, and mix well. Pour the milk and the cream into a heavy bottom saucepan and warm it over medium heat. And when it's just about to boil, remove it from the heat, add in some grated lemon zest. Then you're going to split the vanilla pod along its length, scrape the seeds out, Put the seeds into the milk mixture along with the empty pod and let it infuse. And you're going to start beating some eggs. So you're making a custard is what you're going to do. Then in a large mixing bowl, use an electric mixer. Beat 4 eggs and a half a cup of sugar for 4 to 5 minutes until very pale and light. Then take the vanilla pod from the milk. With the mixer still on, gradually add the warmed milk to the eggs to make your custard. Cut the brioche into 1-inch slices or whatever bread you're going to use. And you want about 12 to 15 slices. Use one of the mugs as like a cookie cutter or whatever container you're going to use. Mug would be best. Cut that into slices, your bread into rounds that will fit inside each mug. Butter each slice of bread on one side and place one slice at the bottom of the mug, butter side up. Cover it with a handful of the cherries. Then cover the cherries with one or more slice of buttered brioche and then cherries again. And then one final layer of brioche. So you have your bread on the bottom, a layer of cherries, another layer of bread, another layer of cherries, and then your final bread. So it's just this, you know it's going to be good because you know what's coming next. So 3 layers of brioche, 2 layers of cherries. If you have any juice left over, just pour it over the bread. And then once you've filled those mugs with the brioche slices, you can pour in the milk and egg mixture over each mug. And let it sink a bit, and then make sure all the mugs are full, and let that brioche soak up all of that custard. You can let those rest in the refrigerator for at least 30 minutes. Overnight is fine. So like if you were having a kid's party and you want to serve it for the kids in the morning, you can do that at night. Or they could even do it before they go to bed. They can help make their own mug, put it into the refrigerator when they get up in the morning. Then you can turn your oven on to 350. Cook the pudding in a pan that's filled with water so you can get out like some sort of roasting tray or something like that. Fill it with water, hot water, put your mugs in it, and put it into the oven for 40 minutes or until golden brown. Then let them sit for about 10 minutes before you serve them. Wow. Sounds so good, doesn't it? Individual little custards with all that delicious cherry juice and cherries and the brioche. Yum. That's definitely a keeper. I have got to make those. But before we move on to the drink of the week, I just wanted to remind folks that just because you're making a cobbler doesn't mean it has to be a sweet cobbler. You can make a cobbler with something like short ribs and mushrooms. So basically the whole idea of braising meat and making your meat mixture and putting it into a pan and then making your cobbler dough, which you would maybe want a little more savory and less sweet, and putting that over the top in the oven and baking it. Oh my goodness. So just to give you an idea of a recipe, this is a Cabernet braised short rib and chanterelle cobbler. If I was going to a restaurant and this was on the menu, I would order it definitely, definitely. 2 pounds of thick cut short rib meat with the bones removed. A little salt and pepper. If you don't have short ribs, you could always find another cut of meat. That will work well with it. 4 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of all-purpose flour, 4 carrots roughly chopped, 3 celery stalks roughly chopped, 1 yellow onion roughly chopped, 2 cloves of garlic finely chopped, 3/4 pound of fresh chanterelle mushrooms roughly chopped. So you know this is a fall dish, but I had to give it to you. 1 cup of Cabernet, 1 tablespoon of tomato paste, 2 cups of beef stock, a bay leaf, and some thyme. So pat the short ribs dry with a paper towel, season them with salt and pepper, and then brown them in olive oil a few at a time on all sides in the oil in your pan. Then transfer those to a plate and sprinkle them with a little bit of flour. Set them aside. Preheat your oven to 350. Then in the same Dutch oven, you're going to add the leftover olive oil, which is about 2 tablespoons. You're going to cook the carrots, the celery, the onion, the garlic, and the mushrooms until soft and translucent and slightly browned. Then set the cooked vegetables with the short ribs. Then you're going to deglaze the pan with the Cabernet Sauvignon. Cook it down until it's about half reduced, about 5 minutes. Then stir in the tomato paste and the beef, which will make it so rich, the beef stock, the bay leaf, the thyme sprigs. Then return the short ribs and the vegetables to the pan. Cover and cook in a preheated oven 2.5 hours, which that's good on itself. I mean, you could just eat that over some mashed potatoes. But you're going to make the topping recipe. Your toppy recipe can just be, this is a thyme biscuit topping, which calls for 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1/2 teaspoon of cream of tartar. It also uses, of course, butter, milk, and some thyme leaves. You can use whatever biscuit topping you want. And basically, you can, just like you would make any biscuits, put it in the fridge to set for a little bit. And then you're going to form the biscuit dough into balls about the size of a golf ball, and or maybe just dollop it on. Cover up all the short ribs until they're covered, the whole entire pan. Return the Dutch oven to the oven and cook for another 30 to 45 minutes or until the topping turns golden. Spoon the cobbler into bowls, garnish with fresh thyme. That kind of meal is just up my alley. And it'd be fun to go out and hunt for chanterelles just for this dish. So your cobblers can be savory too, so think about that. And that's it. Don't forget cobblers, Betty's, Buckles, and more. Easy to make. Search for some recipes and make some good fruit desserts with that. Kids just love it. Coming up next, I have the drink of the week here on What's for Dinner.
Country boogie woogie and rock and roll. Yeah, I love that boogie beat. I'm gonna give you something to move your feet. Come on, baby, we're gonna do the jitterbug one more time. There's a brand new dance that came from long ago. Had a boogie woogie beat with the do-si-do. It was the Huckleberry Boogie.
Huckleberry Boogie.
The Huckleberry Boogie.
Huckleberry Boogie.
The Huckleberry Boogie. Boogie all night long.
Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store in Petersburg with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums. To cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store on Singley Alley and open 7 days a week. All right, welcome back. The drink of the week. The drink of the week is an interesting drink, but I'm excited to give this to you. For people who really like Indian food, this has saffron and cardamom in it, and you don't need very much saffron for this, only 7 to 8 strands, and that's hardly nothing. So if you do have some saffron at home, you don't need to use much of it. And so I was so excited about this recipe just because I like saffron, and I cooked with it last night. And I know it's super expensive, but you don't need very much when you're cooking with it. Unless you're cooking for like 50 people, then you need more. But it's always a nice little gift to give somebody too in their Christmas stocking. A little, you know, you can get a little jar of saffron for, you know, sometimes you can get several jars in one jar, maybe $20 little jars, and you can give those in Christmas stockings or as little gifts. And it's fun because then people have a little saffron to use for something. But this just calls for 7 to 8 strands of saffron. And this would go really well with Indian food. This is from Sayi Khandakar, and goes really well with Indian food. So this makes a concentrate for a saffron and cardamom lemonade concentrate. Makes enough concentrate for a couple drinks. So you need to make a simple syrup. You dissolve 1.5 cups of sugar into 2 cups of water over low heat. Stir occasionally to ensure that it doesn't burn. Simmer for a minute once the sugar is dissolved. Turn off the heat. You're going to add 1.5 teaspoons of green cardamom powder and 7 to 8 strands of saffron and cool completely. And to make green cardamom powder, you can toast the cardamom pods a little bit in your dry pan on the oven or the stovetop, or not. You don't have to roast it, but you can just put it in your spice grinder. It's the way to do it. And then you're going to pour in some lemon juice, about 1 cup, and stir to mix. And there you have it. It's a saffron cardamom lemonade concentrate. It's going to have some really good rich flavor to it. But to make the lemonade, you take 3 tablespoons of the concentrate in a glass, muddle in some mint leaves, and sprinkle in a tad little bit of salt. Add ice cubes and fill with cold water. Stir and enjoy. You can use soda if you'd rather. Use a little bit of, you could use a tonic water, or you could use just a carbonated water, just plain old bottled water. If you wanted to, you could add a dash of vodka to it. But basically, it's the saffron, the cardamom, the lemon juice, sugar, and water. And that's making a lemonade. Add the water to it. So once again, 1.5 cups of sugar, 2 cups of water. Make your syrup by dissolving the sugar and water over low heat. Turn off the heat. Add your cardamom powder, your saffron, 7 to 8 strands of that. Cool completely. Pour in the lemon juice, stir to mix, strain, and store in a bottle in the refrigerator. Make sure the bottle's nice and clean or it won't last that long. To make the lemonade, pour 3 tablespoons of the concentrate in a glass, muddle in some mint, and sprinkle in some salt. Add cold water to the top with ice cubes. Sounds great. If you like exotic flavors, which I do, thanks for joining me today. Buy some nectarines, peaches, make some cobbler, take it over to a friend's house. Have a great day.